I'm Maddie Flint, and I want to welcome you guys back to another episode of my podcast, The Essentials. So I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas and that you all went into your new year on a positive note, as positive as it can be. Today, I'm going to be talking about the blazing hypocrisy of the radical left. So as we've seen everywhere, standards for being offended are not applied equally when it comes to people on the left versus people on the right. Example, people on the left will mock Christianity and disrespect Christian symbolism all they want. Heck, the more demonic, the better for like Hollywood. Imagine if somebody mocked the Quran though, or the Hindu or Buddhist spiritual mantras or something. Those things are trendy and also for some reason more worthy of respect than Christianity. So that goes to show there's something a little bit hypocritical about the way that left views religions. And before I really dive in, I'm just gonna put out a little disclaimer. This is America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, not America, the land of the Unitarian Universalists and the home of the inclusivity servants. I'm free to say and think however it is that I prefer. You don't have to like it. I don't have to agree with you. You can be offended, but no one should have the power to remove what offends them. You, unfortunately, don't get a right to not be offended. If you think you do, you are likely very childish. And all of us are equally free to hold and voice our own opinions, as stated and protected under the Bill of Rights, which can be found in the beginning of the American Constitution, specifically from Amendments 1 to 10. That is your Bill of Rights. This isn't the Declaration of Independence, as somebody once tried to debate me on social media. Anyway, I have no problem with anybody who disagrees politically with me, because I'm not totalitarian. I don't want everybody to think the same. I just have a problem when they start to push their beliefs on me, especially if said beliefs are biologically, historically, counterfactual, judgmental, or hypocritical. For instance, they throw insults at people like dumb racist or misogynist if somebody is supporting pro-life America, or if this person is saying that race shouldn't be a defining factor of a person's entire existence as a human. People out there on the left will try to shame you, harass you, lie about you, or coerce you, even suppress you, if you don't think the same as them. Honestly, I don't think they should be calling themselves Americans. So the content of this episode is all based on highlighting hypocrisy within left-wing arguments. It's almost laughable if it wasn't reality. And the main place where this behavior stems from is our education system. So hypocrisy, we hear it all the time, but nowhere do I feel like I hear it more than when angry leftists open their mouths to debate a right-winger. According to authors Roger Crisp and Christopher J. Cowden, there are four types of hypocrisy. Pretense of moral goodness, moral criticism of others by those possessing faults of their own, failure to satisfy self-acknowledged moral requirements, and a complacent, unreflective commitment to virtues feigned or preached. And I think the left demonstrates all four pretty well. Today's radical left has given themselves privilege as a means to stand on, constantly displaying their superiority complex. So back to the whole hypocrisy thing, morally, I see it to be largely problematic, and I hope that you guys all do too, and it signifies the height of ignorance. Now, how do morals come into this? Well, I think it can be said that morals are subjective, depending on your life lens. How were you raised? What are your fundamentals? How do you see the world? Are you religious? Are you not religious? Now, from my own experience and understanding, believing in God really helps to set boundaries for principles and helping you to have a good idea of what is wrong versus what is right. Without believing in God, where would your hierarchy of values come from? Many psychologists, whether or not they're Christian or religious in any way, actually believe that humans are always acting on behalf of a hierarchy of some sort. Like in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, on the bottom it's a physiological need, and then the top is like self-actualization. Maslow himself was actually looking for the meaning of life when he developed this pyramid of needs in the first place. As a part of humanity, ethics are the guiding principles that influence a positive outcome through our decisions and actions. They help us to tell right from wrong, good from bad, and they give us practical guidance to our lives. When you believe in a religion, usually what is ethical is laid out for you. So Christians, for example, have guidelines that help us to try to stay on track for a moral life. So this actually determines how we try to act in society, how we treat other people, and what we see to be morally wrong, like lying, cheating, stealing, murdering, all of that stuff. But without those principles of morality, it's going to be really hard for people on the non-religious left to be in any agreement with any of the values that anybody on the conservative Christian right agrees with. That's why the left is so okay with normalizing inappropriate, critical, insane, and violent behavior, and simply just telling us that we have to accept these things to be inclusive. But why should I accept those behaviors? I thought that was my choice, right? So leading with that into my next point, the whole my body, my choice statement is so incredibly stupid. And yes, everybody has personal choice, but in that context, they're not talking about one body, they're talking about two. For the millionth time, it is not your body, it is the baby's body, it is a separate entity, it is just inside yours. The radical feminists that support abortion, and they'll try to say that they're just pro-choice, but they're actually pro-abortion, and in a lot of interviews or debates when they're talking about their viewpoint, that will come out and how they're explaining it. And this is because they really don't value the life of the child at all. I have a really great interview with President of Students for Life, Kristen Hawkins, and one of the pro-choice protesters who thought that she had what it took to debate Kristen. And I'm going to play it for you guys. It's kind of short. I've actually watched it so many times, but I absolutely love it because this girl gets smoked. And yeah, you'll hear it. You'll hear it.
So my poster reads, "Life begins when you understand living women matter more than potential babies."
If it's a potential baby, what is inside of a woman?
It's a fetus.
Is it living?
No.
How can it grow if it's not living?
Actually, that's like saying if an acorn is a tree.
When does the fetus become living?
That's actually a good question, but that line...
Yeah, of course, because you don't know it, because it's living.
Oh.
It's living. No, when is sustainability?
30 weeks to born,
How do you sustain life? Like, my newborns aren't sustainable. You can't just have a newborn and they just, live on their own, right?
Right.
Is a newborn not worthy of life? Is a newborn not worthy of life?
Guess she dropped out of elementary science class. So yeah, they do not want to admit that the baby is alive and will grow into a human, because if they did, abortion loses its disguise and people will see it for what it really is, the physical or chemical killing of a baby. So, a popular Instagram account, Feminist, put out a post last year that showed carefully selected images of what they called pregnancy tissue, aka the developing baby in question, at 4 through 9 weeks old. Now, what they have pictured is just thin white pieces of tissue. This is so harmful, and this information is meant to sway the minds of unknowing girls and women. Because it doesn't look that bad. There's no body parts, no baby. But they're calling the right the harmful manipulators? So on the same note, I just want to talk about Planned Parenthood for a bit. This one is super important. When white liberals claim that Planned Parenthood is the best help for black women, that really should offend black women. And here's why. I'm going to talk about Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. So let me just give you guys a brief rundown on her history. Margaret Sanger is usually described as a birth control pioneer who founded Planned Parenthood, but she also met with members of the Klan, advocated eugenics, and supported the use of sterilization to rid the planet of the unfit. Sanger actually wrote about her meeting with the Klan in her autobiography. Yet, of course, to no surprise, this is completely glossed over by today's media. So we know what the whole purpose of eugenics is. It's to create a society in which those who were considered superior would reproduce, while those who were deemed inferior would be encouraged not to reproduce. So this movement is credited with forcefully sterilizing many men and women. These targets of the horrendous acts were disproportionately black and poor. So that's why I have a little bit of a problem with white liberals talking about how great Planned Parenthood is for minority communities, because we all know what they're talking about. Sanger would love to hear that though, because those minority groups were her top targets. She said, quote, "We do not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. And the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members," end quote. So Sanger's true intentions were to really cover up exactly what it was she was trying to do. She was trying to hide it. But at the same time, she's making all these really manipulative moves, getting black ministers or black physicians into the abortion clinics to make it look less scary for black women so they would opt for an abortion procedure. This woman is celebrated by white liberal feminists who claim to support Black Lives Matter. Always remember that. I heard in a video about this topic too, which I now can't find because it probably got removed, that Hitler's Nazis would read eugenics material written by Sanger and some of her founding members of Planned Parenthood, one of whom in particular was actually a member of the KKK. I can't remember his name, but the people that she founded Planned Parenthood with were active members of the KKK and shared an incredibly similar worldview with that of Adolf Hitler. According to Hitler, actually, his ideas of race belonged to the notion that humanity was divided into discrete groups and separate groups, and that there was inferiority between some races and others who were deemed superior. And that's where this whole eugenics thing comes into play. And from that video that I was talking about that I watched that I can't remember the guy's name from, it was actually said that some of the Nazis would read that material, like I was saying, and they actually referred to it as their Bibles. That's pretty scary. That's the foundations of Planned Parenthood. We had the Nazis praising them. And right in the midst of when Roe v. Wade was overturned, there was a video that was circulating on Instagram that I saw a lot of white liberal women share on their stories. It was about a black single mother who had two children, and the way that this commercial was scripted, it really was terrible. It showed like the baby looking up at her, and the mom is like super stressed out. She's worried about how she's gonna pay her bills. It's supposed to illustrate the concept that she can't afford to take care of this baby, and that she would be happier and better off if she had aborted the baby, but because Roe v. Wade was overturned, they're saying she's going to lose all her access to healthcare, which abortion isn't healthcare. It's a surgical procedure, a very invasive procedure that should not be associated with any kind of birth control. But my problem with the ad is that all of these white girls are sharing it, and it's like, you're helping Sanger to accomplish her original goals with Planned Parenthood. Stop, it's 2023, I thought you guys were Black Lives Matter. Don't share that ad around. The hypocrisy. Ugh, horrible. But to move on to my next topic, another big sticking point in this whole hypocrisy talk is how the LGBTQ plus activists are going around saying that there is no such thing as gender or gender norms. Now, if that's the case, and these are my thoughts, why does a trans woman want to wear high heels, heavy makeup, and talk in a squeaky voice and be afraid of like mud and stuff? Would those things happen to be female-linked traits, aka gender norms? Because as they said, gender norms don't exist. So why use these things to define femininity? And worse yet, those things are like classic female stereotypes. And I thought we hated those. Now, some women may display these traits, but it's not right to generalize. I'm wearing pants right now. Does that make me a man? No. Playing dress up is not going to change your biological sex. And then they're saying overall that there are more than two sexes, but can only refer to gender identity as male, female, trans female, or non-binary. Neither male nor female. How can you be non if binary doesn't exist? And sexual preferences too. If someone is bisexual, they say that that person is attracted to both sexes. If there are more than two, they should be saying this person is attracted to more than two sexes. But I'm sure that's coming because they love to change diction. Because bi is either or. You gotta check back to Greek and Latin roots there. That's what that means. That's what that prefix is. In order to be anti-something, the something has to exist first. And it worries me that so many people are dead serious about this gender spectrum too. For example, there's a mom online who named her kid Sparrow, first of all. And she's raising this kid as a non-binary baby. This was a couple years ago, so the kid's probably like four by now. But she was saying this is a baby. That is not cute. Not cute at all. Parents are out here confusing their kids from a very early age. And then those same parents are telling us that we're the crazy ones for not following the science. Meanwhile, if they truly followed science, science says sex is objective. You either have two X chromosomes or you have an X and a Y, considering everything is biologically normal. And the third major talking point that I want to visit is how the left is obsessed with race. It's been a prominent part of their politics for many, many years, and it's something that they take personal responsibility in, and they're pointing it out for others all the time. They also use it as a tool to promote their ideological policies and in turn continue to gain support for their party. They look at race as a reason to hire somebody for a job, not because of their skill level. They look at race as a means to give some kids scholarships and not other kids. It's not so much merit-based anymore. They look on the outside on purpose. They're defining people's character based on their outward appearance the majority of the time, making race-based assumptions and comments that are completely unnecessary. And don't think that they don't know what they're doing when they're doing this. If you are judging somebody based on external characteristics, it is way easier to categorize people into a group because internally, people are individual and they don't like that. And the reasoning for that is that when people are in groups, it eliminates that aspect of individuality, making it way easier to influence groupthink and categorize than sway a bunch of independent thinkers. So let me just harp back to what I was saying earlier about Margaret Sanger and Adolf Hitler. Separating people into groups based on race was like one of the key features of both of their ideologies. And that's what the left is doing now. Because when you have groups, it's easier to point out which groups are the good groups and which groups are the bad groups. And what's striking is that they go on about colorism and how they believe that white conservative Americans are inherently prejudiced against people of color, especially people of color with darker skin. That is what colorism really is. Therefore, the right contributes to systemic colorism, and yet the left infantilizes black people. And they see themselves with this deep-rooted privilege, a privilege that is ingrained into them on a cellular level, no matter what the circumstances are of the other person, as long as they're of color, they're automatically less able and have lesser status based on their skin. And that seems very colorist and ableist of them, which are two big things that they spew accusations onto other people about. So next time you have the chance, politely call them out for this. You don't have to be mean, you don't need to be rude. If you've done your research on a topic and you know the historical background, then why not open up the topic for debate? If they start insulting you, that's just proof that they don't actually know any of the historical truths behind the things that they support. Or they know about it and they just don't care because they don't want to think about that part. They just want to be the savior in the situation. So with that, I'm just going to conclude this episode. I know it was actually pretty heavy for the first one back. I know I haven't done one in a little while, but it's because of the holidays, and I didn't really want to hit anybody with a super political podcast topic as they're trying to enjoy Christmas and the rest of their time off before going back to school. So, as always, I appreciate the listen, you guys. If you learn something, take that and pass it on. Teach other people about it. Teach them the history. Teach them the facts. And please visit the BMG Network for more episodes by me and other great podcasts by our other fantastic podcasters. See you next time.